Watch it on our website at RadioLiberty.com under videos, and then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, or they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli citizen, who, of course, was forced to leave his country because, of course, threats against his life. But, certainly, it's to our advantage because we can talk to Barry every weekend. He can keep us abreast of what's going on in the Near East, and as far as Israel is concerned. Barry, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Always my pleasure.
Well, go ahead and bring us up to date. What are the big issues before Israel today?
I'm not going to start with Israel. I'm going to start with speculation.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Look, there's a process before you start looking for evidence. You have to have a gut feeling there's something in the story. So I work with coincidence that's beyond coincidence. And then I start to think, well, the odds against this aren't that good anymore. There's something behind it. Now, in the last week in the United States, there have been two explosions. One was natural gas. That was Texas. And then 2 days ago in Utah, I believe it was oil. It doesn't matter. Three people died. In Texas, they were wounded. Now, that's 2 in 6 days. And not to mention the swamp of Mexico and the complete destruction of one of the biggest bays in the world in just 6 weeks. And by the way, I want to doff the old chapeau to the people who figured out a way to destroy that gigantic gulf in less than 2 months. They did a fine job. And it's, needless to say, it hasn't. It's not like tomorrow morning you'll wake up and everything is fine again. That gulf is, in fact, uninhabitable for anything, and it's just getting worse. But back to the coincidences. 2 in 6 days bothers me. The Gulf beyond bothers me. But there were also other recent incidents in Venezuela, natural gas, off Mexico, natural gas. There have been an awful lot of explosions in a very, very brief period of time that have killed people and destroyed swamp of Mexico. Now, there is a reason for this, and it's called cyber attack. And by the way, I saw a show on PBS, I believe it was Frontline, that probably kicked in a lot of associations, because this show showed how if America's enemies hacked into the oil and gas industries, what would happen? They were doing actually the electrical grid, but you hack in, they hired a hacker, and he overcame all the protections in place, and he made a generator explode. He readjusted its settings, made it so hot that it exploded.
Now basically, this was actually done intentionally. Is that right? This was somebody hired a hacker to actually to show that they could actually do this, and he was actually able to do this to show how vulnerable our protections are. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Actually, it was on 60 Minutes. I saw the program, and it was well done. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish. You're right ahead, Barry.
Well, that's very good that you saw the show. We're talking the same language then.
Well, I always watch 60 Minutes because I want to see what the enemy's doing. 60 Minutes is owned by CBS. CBS is owned by Viacom. Viacom's part of the Brotherhood of Darkness I talk about. So, Sydney, I want to know what the Brotherhood's up to, and so I watch 60 Minutes every Sunday evening. You go right ahead.
Well, as for Viacom, why not? I mean, let's look at this program we both watched. This is, it was a very convincing argument that by hacking in to the infrastructure of the United States, you could destroy it from Pakistan. Let's get straight down to what's going on here. If, in fact, this is all just cyber war, and everyone seems to think that the war in Afghanistan doesn't go beyond Afghanistan, that's not the way wars run nowadays. You've got a whole electronic front that no one seems to be paying a lot of attention to. But two natural gas and oil explosions in 6 days I can't say for sure that the United States is losing the electronic war, no matter what their army is doing in the field. What happened in the Gulf is worth 100 atomic bombs. The effect it's going to have, nobody is talking about the effect that it's going to have. This may have been part of a cyber war, and I say may, I'm no expert. But having watched the same program, we understand what the danger is. You know, all you have to do is hack into a system and you can get an oil pipeline so hot it will explode. And that's what I suspect. This is just a suspicion, but nobody is talking about it. It could be the oil and gas industries really are being targeted to explode all over the place. That's it. It's just an opinion.
All right. Well, I think it's not an invalid opinion at all, because I really believe we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And certainly, I think Richard Russell said it best. He said, sell all your stocks, because by the end of this year, referring to 2010, you won't recognize the United States. And Richard Russell's a pretty smart old guy. He's been around a lot longer than I have. And when he made that prediction, I listened. Hold on, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Barry is just talking about his concern about what's going on and a number of strange explosions recently, what we've seen down in the Gulf, the potential certainly for hacking into the various security mechanisms having to do with our oil or gas or electric grids across America, and of course Barry is suggesting that maybe we are beginning to see the early stages of an attack on the infrastructure of our nation. And
I don't think it's early. I think it was, if the Gulf explosion was from cyber warfare, it's not early. The game is, in actual fact, ended.
All right, fine. Well, the game hasn't ended. You mean it's just, the game is well underway, is what you're saying?
Well, the battle was won.
All right, fine. Well, go ahead, Sydney. I think that we're just going to have to wait and watch, but I share your concern because, as I commented during the break there, why, of course, I really believe we are moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and I think we will see the Black Awakening. And if you haven't actually heard my interviews with Russ Dizdar, you need to get them or get our 4 tape set on the Black Awakening. But go right ahead, Barry.
All right, I'll go back to what I'm more qualified to speak about. And by the way, the last stuff, don't disqualify it. My suspicions are truly at a higher level, and I do suspect that cyber war was involved. But let's go to, well, where I wasted 33 years of my life and I know something about, let's go back to Israel.
Barry, you didn't waste 33 years of your life. I think you had an important impact upon the beliefs of many of the people there within the Israeli community. I do not think you've wasted your time at all. Go ahead.
All right. I agree with you. I spoke too quickly. But you were right last week, but not completely. Now, you told me that Iran was sending two warships.
Two carrier groups, actually. It looks like it's going to be three or four.
No, it's two ships. I've been following this all day long. Every report says two ships have left.
Well, no, is this two ships or is this two carrier groups? I'm sorry. Iran is sending two ships to. Iran is sending two ships to join the flotilla. Yes, that's right.
Well, the flotilla is nothing, but they're not joining the flotilla. You got it partly right. Iran is sending two ships full of supplies. They'll drop them off in Turkey and go home. They, at least officially, they're not going to challenge the Israeli Navy. They're simply transporting, what they consider humanitarian goods. Hamas won't even take it. I mean, I spoke about this blockade all week long. That article actually had an effect. And I said Iran, for one thing, is not even doing a show of force. If they were accompanying the flotilla with orders to shoot if attacked, you would explode the Middle East. That would be the act that would, in fact, lead to widespread and spreading warfare. So I said they'd never do that. They're not ready for that kind of a war. They don't want that kind of a war. And they got out of it. They're sending two ships full of supplies. They're dropping them off, and that's that.
Well, I hope that that's the case. I hope that's the case because, of course, as you point out, if these were Iranian ships that tried to break the Israeli blockade, that would be organized insanity. But then why are they even sending the supplies at this time? There's got to be another reason. I believe that we are building up to some sort of crescendo there, but let's wait and see.
Well, they're also being taken over by Turkey as the most popular radical state in the region. Iran has been eclipsed by the recent government in Turkey. They love the Turkish prime minister in Gaza and throughout the Arab world. So Iran has got it's not nice being number two when you've been number one for so long. So they have to show up and let them know in Gaza that they also supplied really humanitarian stuff that the Hamas aren't even going to allow into Gaza, but nonetheless, Iran has to show its face. Now, there's all kinds of rumors. Last week you said, no, it was by phone, I think, privately, you said that Saudi Arabia has opened airspace to Israel for an Iranian attack. Believe me, if you're the Israeli Air Force and Saudi Arabia opens some airspace to you, the first thing you think is, it's a trap.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, Barry. We've heard this from several sources. Maybe it's all disinformation. I did comment because I'd read several articles on this, but certainly I've been told the same thing by Dr. Corsi. I was told the same thing by Avi Lipkin. We'll wait and see. Maybe it's not true, but go ahead.
It isn't even a question of whether it's true. It's whether the Israelis would commit their air force and listen, they're a long way from home, and there's a lot of high-tech missiles out there. It's a very risky thing to do to begin with. All right, without any permission, apparently, and we're going to fly over Saudi airspace and hope they're not going to betray us. It's a pretty big decision there. But neither here nor there. Let's go back to this blockade business. Look, the fact is, Israel painted itself into a corner. To summarize what my article was about, my recent article, I stated the obvious, that the flotilla commando attack was too stupid not to have been deliberate. And I mean repelling sold a platoon of commandos, a platoon against 400 pretty angry people without any riot control procedures or crowd control procedures, just drop them on the deck, and instead of arming them, you arm them with paintball guns, and you give them the order to shoot the paintballs into the legs of rioters. And I said, I was a soldier in Israel, regular and reserve for 13 years, and I promise you, the army that I served in would never have passed an operation like that unless it was on purpose.
Well, Barry, I think it's reminiscent of something called a Kent State during the Vietnam War, where they took a unit of National Guard troops, and they knew they were going to come under attack from the students, and they sent them in there not with riot guns, not with shotguns, but with high-powered rifles. The only thing you do with a high-powered rifle is you kill somebody, and of course they put them in their gas masks, and they march them up and down, they're hot, and somebody starts throwing things at them, and they open fire, and they kill four or five students, and it's a tremendous incident, and it was all staged. I mean, logic would tell you. I mean, you're going to send the troops in, you send them in with shotguns with birdshot in them, or you send them in with certainly tear gas. But it wasn't done that way. It was done to create an incident at Kent State. And when we saw the attack on the flotilla, it was like Kent State all over again. It was deja vu all over again. Certainly the American military is not stupid, and the Israeli military is not stupid.
Well, just keep in mind, Kent State did what it was supposed to do. That was the last riot on any white university campus. There was one 2 weeks later on a black campus, but that was the end for university radicalism. That it did its trick. Somebody worked out the psychology. There were no more university anti-government riots after Kent State. I imagine the effect of the flotilla will be just as powerful and profound for Ehud Barak, the Labor Party defense minister. Now, just to remind you that this government let in the enemy, that he is not, it's not an all-for-one, one-for-all government. You've got factions, but one faction is the enemy, and that's Labor Zionism. What they're doing in a right-wing government makes no sense whatsoever. None.
Well, we live in a world gone mad. Once you understand that, Barry, everything makes sense. Go right ahead.
Well, Netanyahu was forced to take Labor,
sure,
the same way Sharon was forced to take Paris as foreign minister. It makes no sense when you don't have to do it. When you've won a 68% plurality in the popular vote, you don't have to bring Labor into your government. You do that because somebody told you to. The problem is that Ehud Barak was Prime Minister of Israel for 18 months beginning 1999, and he offered Arafat, that works. The Barak peace plan was a complete turnover, a complete revolution. He offered Arafat to split Jerusalem. He offered Arafat land in the Negev equal and above the land that settlements are on. He gave away the works, and to his utter shock, Arafat turned him down.
But maybe Arafat was playing his part in this whole charade. I mean, they don't want a solution to the problem over there, Barry. They want the problem. That's what it's all about. If you solve the problem, then what would you do? I mean, suddenly it's like you create and you finance your enemies, as we're doing, certainly in Afghanistan, and we're financing the Pakistan governments, it's financing the ISI, it's financing the Taliban that are killing our boys. I mean, go back in the formation of Hamas. It was formed by the CIA and the Mossad, and you got the best enemies money could buy. Right now today, the United States is financing the arming and training of the PLO army that's going to be fighting Israel, which we're also funding. And when you understand we finance both sides, it all makes sense. We'll be right back with Barry Shamish. Go ahead, Barry.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease?